Hey everyone, it's Salman Qureshi. You're listening to the Expat Brat Podcast. What's going on, people? I hope you've been having a great few days between the last episode that I released and now. And just everything's just been wonderful and you're having a great time. And you're going around singing, I had the time of my life, and on and so forth. I really should cut out singing for my episodes. You know, I'm pretty much frowned upon. How do I explain this? I do improv shows, and we do one night which is musical improvisation, and I'm pretty much, you know, kind of like banned from it. Like, the people would pay money not to have me sing on one of those nights. So it's just a little secret. But other than that, I hope you've been having a great time, you particularly, and that you don't have singing problems like I do. I don't know what dismayed me more about my life. The fact that I didn't grow tall because I loved playing sports, and I fancied myself as a bit of a sports person, particularly basketball. I was very good at basketball until everybody outgrew me. It was really sad in school. I was one of the best players till everyone hit puberty, and then I couldn't reach like above their shoulders and stuff, and became a block fest. And I just kind of like left my interest in basketball because of that. And it was the same. I chose to play cricket, and guess what? What aspect I fell in love with? Fast bowling. It's the one aspect of cricket where height is essential, right? There are other. That's one of the beauties about cricket. You can get away with lack of height. In fact, some of the greatest batsmen have been short. Some keepers have been short. But nope, I had to fall in love with fast bowling. And so that kind of didn't pan out. I don't know if I'm more disappointed about that or the fact that I couldn't sing, because I love dancing. And so the other thing I kind of fancied myself back in my early childhood was to be a performer. But I am a performer now. I meant like a performer, like a boy band. Not a boy band. I didn't have any fixed genre. I don't think would I have gone into pop or rap, or I guess I like dancing, so maybe that was part of it. Like, I did want to be up there on stage singing and dancing. I got the dancing part fairly okay. I don't think I'm a terrible dancer. Well, at least before my knee operations and stuff. But my singing, never had any talent. I'm tone deaf. I am completely tone deaf. When people talk to me about music and they go, hey, listen, there's the beat and you get in on this part and just feel it, I really don't understand. They don't realize, like, tone deaf people like myself, I think I'm tone deaf, is that it's like asking a blind person to go, look, all you have to do is look, right? Or a deaf person, say, listen, just hear me out. That's the equivalent of someone trying to make me understand singing. So I don't know which part was more disappointing. I think both of those things, there are things every kid wants to be anyway, right? So I guess 99% of us end up being disappointed in our lives, because how many of us become huge stars? Forget the huge star thing, like find the career at that time. You're too young and stupid to be guided, and you have to be really lucky to have the right parents, the right support system, which wasn't there back in the 80s in the Gulf, because schooling systems were still raw, not developed properly, or at least not evolved into what kids get nowadays. And so, you know, no one was there to kind of guide you into these careers. It also seemed like a distant dream, because all of it was happening in places like America or America, right? So you didn't think about, like, there wasn't any NBA to aspire for in the Middle East or in any part of the world, really. So that aspect, I think, played a big part as well. And of course, same with the singing or the acting and all that kind of stuff. Just, you know, you just didn't, you all you saw in front of you were people who were doctors, and that was praised. So that's what you became. Okay. I don't blame parents completely. It was just that time, that generation. And that was what the reality was at that time. So where am I going with this, man? Just the fact that I got into this without thinking, really. What's this episode about, man? My point is, I'm jealous of kids who get told you can be whatever you want, right? To me, it's just like, I wish I could go back in time, but be a kid in this time, or go back with the knowledge I have and redo this with this. Anyway, that's just life and regret. I've been lucky to kind of get into things. I had a great show, in fact. You know, just a shout out to everybody who showed up in at the theater. It was so Rushdie and I, my fellow comic Rushdie Rafiq, shout out to Sal and Rushdie, do our other podcasts, which I do with him, and also other stuff that we do together. We do a show called Sal and Rushdie Do Comedy, and that's our live version where we bring on, we do a little bit of stand-up ourselves, and we bring on some of the other comics around, and just have a great night. And this prior Monday, we try to do it the first Monday of every month, but that might change. Just keep a lookout for it. I'll add it in the description, our details of that show. But it's really good. So I was really happy with it because we had a great crowd and I had a great time and I saw other comics just kill. We had Ema, who's just killing it on the comedy scene in the UAE. Her husband Amr, I just love his stuff as well. Really good. And then there's a girl called Rebecca. All really good stuff. Rishi brought his character stand-up onto the stage as well, which I always, he's just one of the funniest guys I know in stand-up ever, all right? I'm just putting it out there. It's why I'm friends with him. It's why I stay close with him because I just believe he's going to become like this really great comic, and then I can like kind of be his groupie, feed off him for a couple of years. You know, that's the master plan. I just hope he translates his talents into material success for my sake. And I think this is kind of revolving around my head because I'm listening to Grant Hill's audiobook, his autobiography. It's a good book. It's a good story. He was fascinating to me in the 90s because, you know, it was around that time and they were looking for the next Michael Jordan. And then Jordan kind of came back and stole the show again for a few years. But there was this famous Sprite ad that was the anti Be Like Mike ad, basically. And it consisted of Grant Hill dunking and, you know, just playing and these kids watching him. And they go, one of the kids goes, Grant Hill drinks Sprite. Grant Hill drinks Sprite. And so he's associating that, you know, drinking Sprite will make me like Grant Hill. He gets a bottle of Sprite. He drinks it, tries to dunk, fails. And so I forget the exact tagline, but it was something along the lines of just quench your thirst or just drink it for, you know, it was the message was you come to Sprite when you want to just want to drink something and not turn yourself into a popular basketball player or whatever. I don't know how it worked. I thought it was catchy. And so he was kind of cool at that time. And I guess he never became the big dog and won championships and all that. And, you know, just didn't like turn into that superstar legend kind of thing. Pretty good career, was a good player. And anyway, in one part, he talks about how when artists or athletes or whatever, when they're new and they come across this money, and especially the ones from his generation onwards, these guys are raking in millions of dollars, man. Why am I not a basketball player in this generation? I mean, I'm not a basketball player in any generation in my life, but I wish, if anything, I could be an NBA player right now, just starting my career. Can you imagine in any other field, right? You walk in. I don't know what other industry has this, where you walk in as a complete freshie and you're thrown like millions of dollars at you. That's incredible. That's what I want. That's what everybody wants, okay? So he talks about the problem with your old friends, and his dad gave him some advice that was pretty cool. He says, don't go out with your old friends or any friend by taking you all should have the same amount of money in your wallets when you go out, right? And the point was, don't start picking the tab up for them. And Grant Hill talks about the advice, but ignoring it. And then, you know, initially a couple of his friends are hanging out with him. And because they're going to kind of upscale steak places, he picks up the tab a few times and they're thankful. And then he's like, at some point, it turned into just a given, right? An expectation. And he said, I got resentful about that. And his dad's advice came back to him, who was also an athlete, but like an American football player. Anywho, I thought that was cool. I just hope Rushdie doesn't hear that and pick up on it, because I completely want him to be picking my tab up when we go to these fancy steak places. It's the same thing you see in other things like Mike Tyson's documentary right now, Ric Flair's one, which I'm watching right now. That's really cool. Flashback to the 80s. It's so wonderful. I've gone off on a different tangent, but just a quick thank you to the people who did the show. I was really happy and proud with myself because I did some old bits, but I finally like tried out, redid a few new jokes, rewrote them, and some of them really landed pretty well. So I was quite happy about that. You know, just trying to write my new special, man. It's some days are just so hard, you know. Some days you're inspired and you're jotting down stuff. But I think that's a little bit of a, if you're an artist or you're starting out writing of any kind, whether it's stand-up comedy or whatever, I realized you kind of fool yourself a little bit. Just because the days you're writing a lot doesn't mean you're actually on a roll, as people say. It just comes down which day, what joke. At the end, when you bring the joke out or when you release your art in whatever form you're doing it in, it's the reaction of the people to it that really, really is the final kind of answer. Yeah. And it's not to say like you've got to give your entire self of being or something to audiences. I think some people, some artists get annoyed about that. But I do think.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Do you spend all of your waking moments watching reality TV? Well, you're in good company. I'm Will.
And I'm Marissa. And we're the hosts of Cheers to Chaos Reality TV and Cocktails, a new weekly podcast that covers the ever so entertaining and cringy world of reality television.
Each week, we'll be raising our glasses and diving into the latest drama and chaos from our favorite reality TV shows.
From 90 Day Fiancé to The Bachelor. You've got all your reality favorites covered.
So grab a drink and join us as we clink our glasses to the hilarious and delightful train wrecks of reality TV.
Subscribe now to Cheers to Chaos Reality TV and Cocktails on your favorite podcast platform.
It's that acceptance is important at some level, because if you're just doing art for yourself, that's kind of selfish. It has to be art that people can sometimes relate to as well, especially in something like stand-up comedy, man. If they're not laughing, what's the point? Anywho, so some days I do write a lot and I think I'm on a roll, I'm doing great. Some days I write two lines, man. The whole like writing session, I've got two lines. But sometimes it's that joke, that one joke while I was standing around, while walking around, that clicks so much harder than the day I wrote 10 million jokes. So yeah, I guess, you know, that's the life of an artist. You just keep producing and hoping that the people will like it. Nah, I don't know what accent that was. yeah. So anyway, that was the show. Catch it again next time. I'm going to be constantly doing a lot of new bits, hitting up some of the other venues around Dubai too. The Ric Flair thing though, that's really cool because it got me on a little trip to the 80s as well, as I was watching it. And I remember him. I know he started in the 70s, but my experience of him was through the 80s, mostly after he'd moved to the WWF, already a big name. I loved and hated him. He was super annoying. And I was a big Hulk Hogan fan. So, you know, it was just like a natural hatred for anyone who was against the Hulkamania, right? So I just had that thing going for me. But it's a very interesting documentary. It's on Disney Plus. I like it. It's he's a big part of it. He's being interviewed through it. And there's a lot of footage around and a lot of history and story. And I guess it's I don't know. I haven't finished it yet, but it's really good. So I'd recommend that one. Anyway, this is something I was watching. And but that 80s trip, right, for some reason, the last few days, I've just been hung up on like wanting to watch some reruns. I don't do that enough. I don't do too much nostalgia, although I really listen to Michael Jackson way too much sometimes. But Alf has been on my mind. I don't know how many of you guys watched it, and I was re-looking the show and some of the stuff on it. And I was, for the first thing, I was shocked that there were only 4 seasons. And that's why I was kind of upset to know that. So many TV shows that had such longer runs that were so far crappier. If you haven't watched Alf, it's about this alien that lands in the U.S. Well, you know, it doesn't sound unique now, but back then it was a cool story. And he lands in in the American suburbs into this family, the Tanners. Yeah, I remember that name, the Tanners. And I think Alf's real name is something else, and Alf stands for alien life form, and the father of the family names him Alf. I don't know why, which is kind of shitty, right? A little bit about immigration, though, right? It's like, Alf's like, my name's, I've got a name, and they decide to call him Alf instead. So was it deliberate? Was it like, oh my God, I'm just having like this insight as I'm talking about it? Or was it just I don't know, just to mark him out more clearly? I gotta go watch a rewatch those shows to the pilot might have that answer. Why was he named like that? But so interesting, you know. And it wasn't even like his real name was a weird alien name. It was Gordon. Yeah, that was it. I think it was Gordon. I have to look this up. Give me a sec. All right. This was. He lands in, Gordon Shumway. Yeah, and his the planet he was coming from was, it's right here. Where was it from? He lands from Melmac. I remember that, Melmac. And they used to eat cats and stuff. It just sounds so bizarre, but that was the 80s. It was such a fun show. It was a family show. I loved it. I loved Alf. I thought, apart from the, it was a comedy, but there was so much, there were such good moments in the show, like really, like, you know, touching moments, showing his culture shock, like the guilt of being the, because his planet explodes, I think, you know, his guilt of being the only survivor, sometimes just being bored, you know, and obviously loneliness because he was the only thing, and his difficulty with like trying to eat the family cat because, you know, back home they ate cats and that was something he liked doing. I thought it was a lot deeper than people think at first, but it really touched those emotions. And even as a kid when I was watching it, it was just a show that stayed with me because of those great moments, I think. And that's, it just left a real big impact on me. And then I had heard that they were going to reboot it. I wasn't very happy about it at that time because I hate reboots and stuff and ruining my childhood. But it's not for me, I guess. It's for the new generation, whatever. Screw you. But then they didn't. It got lost somewhere. And I don't know what happened with it. And now I regret it because I think a show that was given only 4 seasons definitely should make a comeback. I hope they can keep a lot of the original feelings and looks of the whole thing about it. Obviously not the original cast, that would have aged quite a bit. Late 80s. Yeah. I don't even know if they're alive. I hope they are. I'm just over. Coolio died, man. Coolio. All right. Coolio. Shit. Oh, this is Bob Saget and Coolio. Oh, man. Just my real big moments in my childhood just disappeared. Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, that was this. Anyway, I'm getting freaked out now a little bit because we're hitting the last quarter of 2022 as well. And, you know, the beginning of this year, I've had a good year. I've been very, like, honest with myself about it, so I'm quite happy. But my key thing was, like, there were 3-4 main goals of the year, and I was doing so good up until about, like, the 6-7 month part. And then it just took 2 busy months and being distracted that just ruined a lot of the work I had done. So I'm kind of like just really annoyed with myself. At the same time, I'm trying to calm myself down by looking back and going, okay, these are the gains I have made. I am overall better in most positions and I'm on the way. But it was nice to just kind of reflect and go, right, we're hitting October, November, December. It's time to pull up my socks and really hit things hard. So the last two, three days, I've started hitting the gym again. I was just doing this to motivate you guys as well, yeah? I started eating a bit clean again, trying to watch my intake. Man, I love food. I know I keep going on about it. I don't know what to do about it, guys. So I'm working hard at it. I think, you know, it's nice to just really give a real push. I think everybody kind of does it the last quarter, but it's nice. It's nice to have that little kick. It's nice to have those numbers and nice to go, I'm hitting something. I am generally not this organized. I'm generally not a numbers guy, but this year I really took down like stats and really checking on, measured a lot of things. And I'm so glad I did that because it makes, you just clarifies so many things for you. Right, the amount of writing I do, the weight loss, my growth in whatever areas I'm working on, it just became so much more concrete. So I'm really happy about it. And on that note, you know, I just want to get hand over the mic to my pal here for the top self-care tip of the episode. Thank you Salman, thank you very much. Yeah, guys, gents, boys, everybody. Today's top self-care tip of the episode, it is being coming from Ramesh. That is me. That is I, in fact. I'm fixing my grammar as I speak along this way. Look, guys, the simple fact is you need to be taking care of your skin. Moisturizing. The simplest thing you can do and the best thing you can do for your life. I know. Some of you are like shaving the body and the skin and the face so much that you are thinking exfoliation naturally. That is a stupid thought. You need to be using the moisturizer. If you're not in this century, not using the moisturizer, what you are doing? Especially for my friends who are living here in the Middle East with me, man. What are you doing? We are in the place where sun is shining everywhere on you. The sun is shining on you on places where the sun shouldn't be shining. That is where it's going. So much sun we are living in. So moisturize, make your face and the skin really healthy, and the ladies will be coming to you by themselves. Promising you. Wallah, promise. Okay. Thank you, Salman. That is the top self-care tip of the episode. Okay. Thanks, Ramesh. Yeah, I hope that's useful. It's very basic stuff, but for some reason, some of these things people don't do. It's just a good reminder for me too, guys. that's your top self-care tip. You please act on it and just make some... make a difference to your life. Hey, listen, I want to ask you guys a favor as well to my listeners. I'm looking at some t-shirt designs and some apparel that I want to put out there for the Expat Brad podcast and for Salman Qureshi, my comedy site, some merchandising a little bit. If you guys have anyone who's a good designer or have some design ideas of the kind of stuff you'd be interested in wearing and buying, then really appreciate if you drop me a message on my Instagram at Expat Brad Podcast. It's and send me some of those suggestions. I'll leave a story with that question on that as well. So throw me some of your ideas. Help me out here. I want to see what I can put out there. That stuff that people actually want is useful. And it's cool, and it represents the whole idea behind this. So, yeah, help me out with that, guys. In the meantime, I have I've got to go back and start doing some stuff. I'm hitting more shows. I've got more shows lined up in general, so I'm going to be listing them out again on my Instagram handles at SalmanZQ as well, on the description of these podcasts as well. So just, you know, spread the word for me on that too. I want to take the new special on a tour very soon. I'm hoping to complete it by December and then start off in 2023 going around doing it and finish it off then. So that's the goal. Got to get back to it and work on it. In the meantime, you know, some of the songs, I haven't heard any good new songs actually. So tell me some good new music to listen to as well. Little, if you haven't caught my thing on the stories, then follow my friend Rami. You'll find him on his Instagram link to mine. I think if you Google Rami and blah, it'll show up. He's a fellow comic as well. Great guy. He does these Monday music clips on Instagram, and it's really cool. I think I've spoken about it before, but just give him a follow. Yeah, he talks about great albums. He's got these LP records and he recommends music. I use that to decide what I'm listening to for the week. It's really cool. So please do check that out and enjoy the show. Let me know what you think about the Ric Flair documentary as well. I'm watching a few other things that I'll review in the next episode. I hope you've had a great time. Thank you so much. And also one last thing, a lot of love. I should put this right at the beginning. to be honest. I'm sorry. I had a lot of people who came to me about the last episode, and it was really nice and heartwarming how many people reached out. It was about my kids' autism and stuff. And the idea wasn't to talk about my own kids' autism, just that. It was more about getting that conversation going and getting people to be okay with talking about it. Parents who are worried, just a lot of people feel shame or guilt or something. Whatever is the reason, stop it and get out. But I just wanted to shout out to everybody who reached out with a lot of love, and that's what makes the world go around, people. So that's really nice. And on that note, I'm going to say goodbye because I got to run and do things. So goodbye, or as a dog would say, woof.